نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون صدق الله العظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا الا ما علمتنا انك انت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا Most honorable brothers in Islam, on the return from the blessed lands of Haramain Sharifain, my beloved Shaykh and Ustaz of Hadith حفظه الله تعالى in his first school recited this verse and explained the message to him. So inshallah, I will endeavor to share with you the message which is contained in this verse and those lessons what our Honorable Hazrat Damas Barakatuhum has shared in regards to this verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu kutiba alaykum as-siyam. O you who believe, fasting has been made obligatory upon you. Kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum, as it was made obligatory on those that came before you. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ so that you may become muttaqeen. Our Honorable Hazrat mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing the believers and commanding them that they should fast. And thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that fast as fasting was prescribed on those that came before you. There was no need for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to mention this portion of this verse. It would have sufficed if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have just said fast. The reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this is showing mercy upon you and I. And by mentioning the people of the past, he is trying to mentally prepare us that there is no need to worry. These 30 days they will pass easily, because the people that came before you, they also followed this command. Thereafter our Hazrat mentioned a rule that when something becomes general, إِذَا عَمَّتْ خَفَّتْ, when everyone is going through the trouble at the same time, then it becomes easy. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by mentioning the nations of the past, wants to make fasting easy for us. And thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the reason for fasting. What is the purpose, the objective of fasting? What do I want you to gain from fasting? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَأَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, I want you to gain taqwa from fasting. And we have heard this message time and again. Taqwa, taqwa, taqwa. My brothers, this is the lifeline to our spiritual life. Without taqwa, there is no spiritual life. Hence, our elders time and again emphasize on this point that adopt taqwa, adopt taqwa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in another verse mentions, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. O you who believe, adopt taqwa, fear Allah. حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ, not taqwa according to your understanding. In these situations, I will adopt taqwa because they are in my favor. And in these situations, I won't adopt taqwa because they go against me. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, حَقَّ تُقَاتِ, adopt taqwa as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the right. Yani adopt Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taqwa according to His right, according to his desire. When a person adopts this type of taqwa, then slowly but gradually he will become from amongst the muttaqeen. Our Hazrat Damat Barakatum yesterday mentioned in the Dars of Quran, sorry, the previous day, that there is one is the revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and another type of revelation which was on the tongue of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is known as the ahadith. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself mentions the definition of haqqa taqati. What does it mean to fear Allah as He deserves to be feared? Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala anhumah mentions that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam defined haqqa taqati. And this definition, my brothers, it's so comprehensive. Each word contains not just a lesson for the general public, but those of us who are treading this path of suluk, each word has a deep understanding and a deep message in regard to how this salik, how this person who is treading this path of taqwa, how he should behave. So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu states that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained haqqa tuqati. And he said that what does it mean that a person should fear Allah as he deserves to be feared? Number one, six words Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, six key words. The first, huwa an yuta'at. The first is that he obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in each and every of his commands. If this is not in our life, then we do not have this quality of haqqa tuqati in our life. Obey the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times, be it hadar or safar. Be it that you are at home, or be it that you are traveling. Taqwa should be an essential ingredient of your life. Once I heard the Honorable Hazrat Maulana Abdullah Kapoor Ravi Sahib Damat Barakatuh explain that why is it that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us this dua, that whilst you are traveling, read this dua. Allahumma inni as'aluka fi hadha as-safar al-birra wa-taqwa. O Allah, I questioned you, I asked of you in this travel, in this journey of mine, al-birr, goodness and taqwa. Why does a person ask for taqwa? When he is traveling, his salat is cut, he doesn't get time to do many good actions. What is meant by asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for taqwa? Hazrat thereafter mentioned, the reason is, at home there is a greater chance of you not committing evil. People will see you, they know you. But when a person is traveling, he is away from home. There are many chances of a person committing a sin. Hence, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us such a dua, that constantly we are mindful of the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So be it hadar or safar, be it you are home or be you traveling, be it jalwat or khalwat, be it your public life or be it your private life, and your ta'ah, obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second word Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in this comprehensive definition is فَلَا يُعْصَى. Do not disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now the question arises, if a person is obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is not going to disobey Allah ta'ala. Why did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mention يُعْصَى also? Yeah, do not disobey. The reason is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through His infinite mercy, states that when a person thinks of a good and he has not carried out that good, it is still recorded as one good. And after carrying out that good action, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, according to your intention, multiplies it up to 700 times. But when a person thinks of a bad thing, it is not recorded. It is not recorded until that person does that action. And look at Allah's mercy, it is only recorded as one bad action. This is Allah's mercy. And we find in some narrations that this one action is not recorded all the way until his death, when there is no chance of him turning to Allah and seeking forgiveness. Until then it is not even recorded. If this is not the mercy of Allah, then what is? It's only after he carried out that action and there is no chance of him turning back, then it is written. So what does Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? Obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and do not disobey. Because even not disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a part of taqwa. The third keyword, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions وَيُذْكَر. This obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and this not disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَيُذْكَرَ, you should always be mindful of it. Always be mindful of it. Never ever forget it. Because the day you forget this, then you will fall into sin. You will fall into error. Our Hazrat Damat Barakatuh yesterday mentioned, in regards to taqwa and ihsan, إن الله مع الذين اتقوا والذين هم محسنون. Those people who are taqwa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala special assistance is with them. And these are the people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted the quality of ihsan. Ihsan is the pinnacle of taqwa. As our Hazrat mentioned yesterday, that Jibreel alayhi salam came to teach the deen. And he asked that what is ihsan? And the answer which was given is to worship Allah as you see Him, although you cannot see Him. When a person becomes so much aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how is he going to commit a sin? وَيُذْكَرْ. Remember this at all times, that I need to obey Allah. And فَلَا يُنْسَى, the fourth key word, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, never ever forget this word. That Allah is watching you. After these four words, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, وَيُشْكَرْ. Be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is also from حَقَّ تُقَاتِ. To fear Allah as He deserves to be feared. What is the fifth key word? وَيُشْكَرْ. And be grateful. Be grateful for what? Be grateful that this obedience what you are carrying out, and this disobedience what you are refraining from, وَيُشْكَرْ, you are not doing it because of your own accord. Rather, it is the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the reason why you are treading this path of taqwa. As Maulana Ahmad Sahib Hafizahullah mentioned in our Hadith Bayan yesterday, that we have not come to i'tiqad of our own accord. It is Allah who has brought it here. This is not a monk. The qualities of taqwa that a person always realizes, that whatever good there is in my life, it is attributed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And any fault, they are attributed to Himself. Be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the more you are grateful, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. The more you are grateful, the more you will progress in this quest of taqwa of yours. Thereafter Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, فَلَا يُكْفَرْ. And don't be ungrateful. Don't be ungrateful of what? Don't be ungrateful of this quality of taqwa what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you by attributing this goodness of yours, these good acts of yours to yourself. Because this is kufrani ni'mat. This is being ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I have come to i'tiqad. Not Allah ta'ala told me. I have come to i'tiqad. I have built this masjid. I have given alms. This I. Instead of referring it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he refers it to himself. In the definition and the terminology of mashayikh, they call this I ananiyat. What shaitan said out of pride and arrogance, ana khayrun min, I am better than him. As Pharaoh said, ana rabbukum al a'la, I am your Lord divine. Allah ta'ala does not like this I. How we have heard from our Hazrat many a time, that when a person walks this path of taqwa, prior to this, he says, I did it, I did it. Then he starts to walk this path of suluk, and his ignorance comes in front of him. Thereafter he says, I did it, but with the help of Allah. As he walks this path more, his ignorance is in front of him, like dawn, like daybreak. Thereafter he says, yeah, Allah did it. Not I did it, Allah did it. So this is the definition what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given for taqwa. We should look into our lives and contemplate, okay, how much of this definition does my life need? And if it doesn't, then how much do I need to strive in order to fulfill it? We can also very easily understand through this definition
that this path of taqwa, this journey of taqwa, it's a difficult journey. It's not an impossible journey. It's a difficult journey. That's why some of our ulama have stated that it is a path which has thorns on either side. How careful a person needs to be while treading this path, that his body doesn't get caught, or his clothes don't get caught. He's ever watchful. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through His infinite mercy, knew that there is nafs and shaitan with each and every one of my servants. And while they're walking this path of taqwa, they will endure some difficulty. So for that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us tawbah. He gave us tawbah. And He said that while walking on this path of taqwa, if you ever slip, then refer to tawbah, resort to tawbah. Because committing a sin will stop you on this quest of taqwa. And the thing which will make you resume this journey is tawbah. But tawbah has got to be made with this condition. The conditions, what our ulama have mentioned, just by saying I'm sorry, it's not enough. If the conditions of tawbah are not met, a person carries a sin in regard to the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ulama say three conditions have got to be met. The first, أَيُّقْلِعَ عَنِ الْمَعْصِيَةِ, he disassociates himself from the sin. Number two, أَيَّنْدَمَ عَلَىٰ فِعْلِهَا, he should feel remorse and regret. How did I carry out this sin? And thirdly, أَيَّعْزِمَ أَلَّا يَعُودَ إِلَيْهَا أَبَدًا, make a firm resolution that I will never ever commit this sin. As our Hazrat just mentioned, that let us make this tawbah now, not after Eid I'm going to go back and I will refer back to those sins. This is not a true tawbah. How is Allah Ta'ala going to give us the tawfiq to walk this path of taqwa? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through His infinite mercy, He gave us this tawbah and said that hold fast unto tawbah, because by holding fast unto tawbah you will be able to resume your journey of taqwa. Our Hazrat Damat Barakatuhu mentioned that we should find ourselves either on the platform of taqwa or either on the platform of tawbah. We should always find ourselves on these two platforms. So what does shaitan do? Shaitan, he makes us despondent. How many times have you made tawbah? How many times have you said sorry? But there is no change in your life. Do you not feel any shame? Our ulama mentioned sorry. At times like this we should ponder in regard to the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Prior to committing a sin, think about Allah's punishment. And after committing a sin, don't become despondent, resort to tawbah by thinking of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, through his ahadith, has taught his ummah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is extremely merciful. Once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sat with his companion, and some captives were brought, and amongst those captives there was a lady. It seemed that she had lost her child. This hadith is mentioned both by Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim rahimahumullah in their respective sahih. So it's stated that this woman is picking up a child, clasping it closer, keeping it close to her chest, and then realizes it's not her child, puts the child on the floor, goes to the next child. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the best of teachers. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself referred to himself as Bu'ithu mu'alliman, I was sent as a teacher. And there are different methods of teaching. Individuals learn differently. And one very effective method of teaching is visual teaching. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam grasped this opportunity. And he said to the Sahaba, أَتَرَوْنَ هَذِهِ الْمَرْأَةَ طَارِحَةً وَلَدَهَا فِي النَّارِ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Do you think that this woman will throw a child into the fire? قُلْنَا لَا وَاللَّهِ. He said, O Messenger of Allah, never. By Allah, how can she throw her child into the fire? Look at the frustration that she's going through. How is she going to throw her child into the fire? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated, Allahu arhamu bi'ibadihi min hadihi biwaladiha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is much more merciful to his servant than this woman is to her child. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's message. It says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made 100 parts of mercy. And from amongst those 100 parts of mercy, one part was sent to this earth. And it is due to this one part, whatever love and affection we see amongst the humans and the other creation is due to that one part of mercy. فَأَمْسَكَ عِنْدَهُمْ تِسْعَةً وَتِسْعِينَ. And he kept 99 parts of mercy to himself. Yahya Razi Rahmatullah Ali used to supplicate and he used to say, Oh Allah, due to one part of mercy, there is so much honor in this world. So, Oh Allah Ta'ala, how can I lose hope in you when you have kept 99 parts of mercy to yourself? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy is vast. Qari Sayyid Saab rahmatullah alayhi mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy is such that one part of mercy was sent down on this earth. Hence you see whatever affection and mercy you see amongst the creation. And 99 parts of mercy he has kept to himself at the arsh. So the whole of the universe, whole of the earth is full of mercy, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's arsh is also full of mercy. And thereafter he said, Ar-Rahmanu ala al-arshi istawa. The most merciful one ascended the throne according to his shah. So if everything is mercy, the world is full of mercy, there is mercy around his throne, and there is mercy upon the throne, how can you lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So a person should not become despondent. The person should not make program to sin, as our Hazrat mentions time and again. A believer does not make a sin of program. He does not make a program of sin, sorry. But if he slips and he commits a sin, he resorts to tawbah. Imam Tabrani rahmatullah alayhi mentions a hadith which Ibn Hajar Asqalani rahmatullah alayhi has rendered sahih, that once an old man came into the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and his condition was such that due to his old age, his eyebrows were falling on his eyes, on his eyelids. And he came into the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, what do you say regarding a person who has committed every sin on the surface of this earth, major and minor, whatever form sin takes, he has committed that sin. Do you think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive you? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that is this person a believer? Said yes. Then it got to be known that he was talking about himself. Said yes, I say la ilaha illallah and I believe you as the final messenger. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that if this is the situation that you are a believer, then keep on repenting, carry out good deeds, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive you. So again, just to be sure, he said that, O Messenger of Allah, are you saying that this person who has committed so many sins, that if they were to be distributed on the inhabitants of the earth, then it will destroy them? This is my condition. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, even then. Even then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive him. The narrator of this hadith says that he cried out, Allahu Akbar. He cried out the glorification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And مَا زَالَ يُكَبِّرُ حَتَّى تَوَارَى. He kept on saying, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, until he vanished from our eyesight. Once, a young person came into the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, O Messenger of Allah, my sins have become great. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, how great? Very great. What, greater than the heavens and the earth? Yes, greater than the heavens and the earth. Greater than the arsh? Greater than the arsh. Well, are they greater than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? No, O Messenger of Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the great Lord forgives the great sin. The Azim Rabb will forgive the Azim Guna. Hazrat Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu mentioned, and this hadith has been quoted by Hakim, and it is also mentioned in the Book of Mu'awwazat of our Hazrat Damat Barakatuhum, that this person came into the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam crying out, Wa dunuba, Wa dunuba, my sins, my sins, my sins have destroyed me, my sins have destroyed me. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called him over and he said, repeat these words after me. Allahumma maghfiratuka awsa'u min dhunubi. O Allah, your forgiveness is much more vast than my sins. What are my sins compared to your forgiveness? Wa rahmatuka arja indi min amali. And your mercy deserves to have much more hope than my actions. I cannot trust my actions, but most definitely I can trust your hope. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made him repeat these words 3 times and said, go, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgiven you. The conclusion is, this journey of taqwa is not just from Ramadan to Ramadan. This journey is not every 6 months. This journey is not monthly, not weekly, not daily. This journey of taqwa, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in the definition of taqwa, is every second. Our Hazrat mentioned a point yesterday, a really important point. He said, those of you who are in i'tiqad, be sure that an evil thought does not even enter into your mind. And yet, that person will only be able to do this who is constantly in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's when we can say with an i'tiqad, okay, for those 10 days I did not spend one moment where I became ghafil of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And yes, there have been individuals that their lives have been exactly like this. If they would have found 1 second of theirs in the negligence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they would cry on days on end. That 1 second I lived whereby I could not remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
So taqwa is not a journey which has got to end with these 10 days. This is a journey which will stay with us till the day we breathe our last. So taqwa, if we slip and we commit sin, tawbah, and never ever be in that middle state, which is the state of despondence. Now comes the important point. This taqwa, where are we going to get this taqwa from? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants taqwa. He granted taqwa to the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala al Muslim. But he granted taqwa to the Sahaba through Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From this we can understand that we need to adopt the company of the people of taqwa. When we adopt the company of the people of taqwa, then our taqwa insha'Allah will be protected and preserved. And that is exactly what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu taqullaha. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu taqullaha wa kunu ma'as sadiqin. O you who believe, adopt the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by adopting the company of the righteous. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant each and every one of us the tawfiq to sit in the company of the pious,
Amen.
To benefit from their words.
Amen.
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this etiqah for us a means for changing our lives for the better. That which was correct was from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, and that which was incorrect was from Allah. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.